Chapter 11, in Gush and Yanim of Electricity and Grammar. Okay, we're going to try to accomplish the impossible today. We'll be trying to discuss the entire sugya of electricity and Grammar in 45 minutes. We've already lost 500 minutes, so we'll see what we can try to do. So what I want to try to do is really break down the share into three distinct components. So the first I want to speak about the issue of electric lights, which is out of all the sugyas of electricity, is clearly the most significant, clearly the most chomer in terms of which malacha we're going to focus on. Then after we figure out what exactly the status of electric lights are, then we'll move on to electricity in general, what other possible malachas, either derises, their abundance, are perhaps involved in other electric devices out of the realm of lights. And the third part of the shir is to discuss the issues of grama, give us at least a little bit of a background to the sugyas of grama, some indirect ways of maneuvering different types of devices, which hopefully lead us into our tzomer presentation a little bit later on today. So let's go back to the very beginning in terms of the sugya of electricity, and particularly the sugyas of electric lights. We have to ask ourselves, what malacha, if any, is involved in the turning on of an electric light? We're talking about a regular, plain, old bulb from the good old days of Thomas Edison. You have an electric bulb where there's what's called a filament that's glowing. There's a piece of metal that gets hot, gets white hot. Is that considered to be a malacha? And if malacha, which malacha precisely is that? Does that fall under? So the sugya begins in Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara speaks about a gachela shamateches. If a person has a piece of metal that's glowing hot, a burning hot piece of metal, so the Gemara doesn't speak about making it hot in the first place, but the Gemara speaks about extinguishing such a gachela shamateches. What is that locha? So one thing is clear from the Gemara, it's a little bit of a complicated sugya, but one thing is clear from the Gemara, that kibui of a gachela shamateches, extinguishing a glowing piece of metal, is not a malacha d'oraisa. It's only an issa d'rabbanan. It falls under an issa d'rabbanan of kibui, of extinguishing, but it's not the malacha d'oraisa. It's not the real makoy of malachas kibui. And the question is why? Why exactly isn't that kibui? After all, I have something which is glowing hot, it's red hot, it's burning hot. I pour water on this hot piece of metal, and now it's no longer hot, it's no longer glowing, no longer lighting. So why is that not a malacha d'araisa? That's the question we have to say. We just started Mamish a second ago. So why is it that the Gemara tells us that if you have a hot piece of metal and you quote-unquote extinguish that hot piece of metal, why is that not a malacha d'araisa? So it appears to be a machlekes rishonim. The Rashi on the Tzugi writes, the reason is because when you extinguish a hot piece of metal, it doesn't become a charcoal. It doesn't become a pecham. It doesn't become a real gacheles. And presumably Rashi is telling us is that the tzur of the malacha, the very nature of malachas kibui, as was practiced in the Mishkan, was for the purpose of creating a pecham, the purpose of creating a charcoal. And since there's no way for the hot piece of metal to become a charcoal, when you just have a hot piece of metal and you pour water on it, it just cools down, becomes a piece of metal again. So it doesn't have that property like wood. When you extinguish a piece of wood, it becomes a pecham, it becomes a charcoal. So Rashi learns that seems to be a din prati, it seems to be a localized halacha within the malacha of kibui, that kibui doesn't apply to something that cannot become a pecha. That's how Rashi seems to size up the sugya. The implication of Rashi is that this is a prat in uchas kibui, this is a localized din, those of you in Mashiach and Mayuno, the term din prati, it's a din prati in malachas kibui, but the implication of Rashi is that it's considered to be an eish. If a burning piece of metal is not, a glowing piece of metal is not an eish, so then, of course, that's not shaykh to be violate malachas kibui. What does Rashi have to dray around to tell you that it's not kibui because that's not what it was done in the Mishkan? Of course, it's not kibui. If there's nishkan eish, that's not an eish in halacha. So the mashmos of Rashi is that it is an eish. Now, what's the difference between a piece of metal that's glowing or a piece of wood that's burning or a match that's burning? It's all the same thing. That's called an eish in halacha. Just for technical reasons, it's not called malachas kibui. In contrast to Rashi, the Sefer Yerayim, quoted in the Sefer Yerayim, it was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, it was Mimitz. So the Sefer Yerayim writes now that if you hold it, there's no malach as kibui by Gechel HaShem Bateches, so then you hold it, there's no malach of Havara by Gechel HaShem Bateches as well. It's a package deal. Rabbeinu Lezmi Mitz seems to learn that the whole tzur of the malach of Havara and kibui in the Mishkan was only on things such as wood and other kinds of related things. But on Mateches, it's different. Mateches is not Bechlau, the Parsha. It's neither Malach of Avara nor the Malach of Kibui. So we have a Machlekes of Rishonim, just how to make sense of this halacha, that there's no Kibui like a Chel HaShem Mateches. That's a given. Is the implication that Kibui no, but Avara yes? That's Rashi's implication. Or do we say like Rabbi Lazmi Mitz? No, there's no Kibui. And Hu Adinami, there's no Havara as well. So other Rishonim seem to weigh in on this question as well. The Rambam writes Beferish in Ulchas Shabbos, and then the Rambam comes at the beginning of Perek Tes, that if a person takes a piece of metal and exposes it to heat, throws it into the fire, and he makes it glowing hot, so the Rambam writes that would be a malacha d'araisa of Havara. So the Rambam is clearly the same as Rashi, that kibui, no, for some technical reasons, but Havara, yes, Havara would be an issa d'araisa on causing a piece of metal to glow. A particular example that the Rambam gives is probably not too relevant for us. The Rambam talks about why would a person do such a crazy thing to heat up a piece of metal. So the Rambam gives you a chetimtza that the guy wants to do it as part of the process, what's called tziruf. Tziruf means, not tziruf like in the Elamus of Kabbalah, but tziruf here means that you're taking a piece of metal and you heat it up and then you immediately cool it down and that strengthens the metal. So the Rambam writes, if that's what you're doing, if that's the reason why you threw the metal into the fire in order to eventually strengthen the metal, that would be a malacha d'araisa of Havara. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes in the Tshuva that he doesn't think the Rambam meant this example, Dafka, this example. The Rambam was sitting in Cairo in the 1100s and trying to think of why would some Meshuggah throw metal into fire for? So the answer is that was normal because of Tziruf. But Lu Yitzuya, says of Shlomo Zalman, Lu Yitzuya, a guy in 2010 would think of another reason to make metal hot, as long as it's a constructive, positive purpose. So Mehecha Teisa, that shouldn't be a malacha. Tziruf is not the defining feature of the malacha. Tziruf is just a practical illustration why a person would ever do such a thing. But if a person does the similar to malacha's tziruf, namely heats up metal for the purpose of whatever purpose it is, it's giving off heat, light, whatever it is, that would be a malacha d'araisa according to the Rambam. So we have already a group of Rishonim who are telling us explicitly that there is a malacha of havara d'araisa on heating up metal. Rashi's implication is this way in Shabbos and a few places. The Rambam is mamish beferish about this. The only one who we've seen explicitly to disagree is Rabbi Elazar Mimitz. The Ravid has a comment in the Rambam which is a little bit confusing. The Ravid suggests that maybe there's a different malach involved in heating up metal. Perhaps malach is mevashel. Maybe we talk about Bishul and Kibbutz Lavi. We'll talk about this Ravid. Maybe not. Whatever it is. But we're not going to talk about this Ravid too much now. We're going to assume, like the Rambam, the most of the Rishonim, like most of the later poskim went, following the Ikvus Rambam and following the Ikvus Rashi, that there is a malach of Havara involved in a piece of hot glowing mateches. The question we have to ask ourselves is, why should this even be an issue in the first place? Why should or should there not be a issue of Havara when it comes to heating up metal? What is it that we don't quite understand about Lo Sevara Eish B'Chomash V'Seichem that's leading to this doubt in our minds whether there is Maleches Havara D'Araisa in heating up metal? So the Chora went to raise a question, a fundamental question about the very nature of the Malach of Havara. A normal Havara means, you know, say you take a match, strike a match, and you got a piece of wood that's a wooden match that's burning. That's classic Havara. So if you think about it, again, as we'll become obvious during the course of the next couple of shiurim, I don't know all that much about physics, so I'm going to try to fake it as much as I can and, you know, smile as much as I can. So let's analyze a Lomdusha point of view, what takes place when you have a fire, something is burning. So in reality, two different things are happening. So on the one hand, this fire is producing something positive, namely something glowing, which is producing either light or heat or something of that nature. That's one component of fire. But there's another component of fire, that something is being consumed, something is being eaten up, something, the source of the fuel, the wood, the gas, whatever it is no longer going to be present. I mean, nothing gets totally destroyed in this world. Things, conservation of matter, energy, something like that, okay. But I'm just going to throw out some phrases just to make believe. But something is at least the fire, Osenein, was being consumed. So one could raise a chakira, lomdash chakira. What's the nature of a malachas havara? Is malachas havara al shame the fact that it's producing light, it's producing heat, that there's some kind of a positive effect of this flame that's taking place? That's the ikur of malachas havara. Or does malachas havara really have that component of it, something being consumed? If something is not being consumed, then that's the chisaron in the etzem ha-malacha on the level of the araisa. So that's the pashas advarim, what's going on in this entire sugya. Is mateches considered to be a malachas havara or not? If the focus of Malachas Havara is the result-oriented, I produce light, I produce heat, I produce something positive from this flame, quote-unquote, so then what's the difference between a match that's struck, about gas in a car tank that's burning, and a piece of metal that's glowing? It's producing heat, it's producing light, it's producing the same kind of end result as other things that are being lit. Mashiach, if the focus of the emphasis on Malachas Havara is the fact that something's being consumed, so here, metal is fundamentally different than wood. Wood, when you strike a match, the wood burns. When you have logs in your fireplace, so the wood burns. Or you have gas in your car, so you better believe the gas burns. The gas wouldn't burn. You wouldn't have to fill up your gas tank every couple of days. But when you have a piece of metal that's glowing, so you heat up the metal, it glows, and then finished, and then it's still there. Then it cools down, and then nothing glows again. Nothing is getting consumed. Nothing, at least the fever, nothing is getting eaten up. At least immediately, nothing is getting destroyed. So if one assumes that a primary focus of Malachas Havara is the consumption of the fuel, so then metal, l'char, will be lacking in terms of that. So one could have three different approaches to this problem on a level of Deraisa. Either one can take the approach that who cares whether something is consumed. That's not Havara. Havara is the light and heat. That's all that really matters. So the consumption of the fuel is irrelevant. Therefore, heating up metal is an av malacha. When the Torah says, l'savar esh b'chomash v'seichem, there's absolutely no difference between burning a log and heating up a piece of metal. That's one approach. Another approach to say is that, no, the consumption of fuel is so critical that if it's lacking, then the malacha is not going to be violated b'chlal, and it's mamash mutam in HaTorah. And the third approach is to say that maybe we could distinguish between an av malacha and a tolda. So an av malacha is the original malacha, the way the lamates malachas were practiced in the Mishkan. I understand once a little bit about Mishkan Shiloh. So somewhere between the cracks you saw about the avos malachos. Then you have a principle called toldos, which are also asav in a Torah, which carry with them, and this is schil and a sakara, a chiv of carbon, but they're different from avos malachas in certain respects. So maybe one can argue that the av malacha is only when you burn wood, when you burn gas, something which gets consumed. Maybe the tolda of the malacha of avara is as long as you produce the heat and the light, so even if nothing gets consumed, that would still be a nisa deraisa, but maybe b'teres tolda, that would be important for karbonos and hasra, maybe, and there would be sugyas, differences la halacha, but not all that relevant for us. If you take a look at the Lashon Rambam at the beginning of Perek Tes, Hilchos Shabbos, you get the impression that the Rambam, although the Rambam holds that Havara does apply min HaTorah to Bakeches, the Rambam quotes it as a tolda. So it could be that's the reason why the Rambam quotes it as a tolda, because it's lacking that component of something being consumed. So go find three logical possibilities. Either it's an av, it's a tolda, or it's not an issa deraisa b'chlal. Anyone bring me a raya? Should there be any raya from a pasuk? Pasuk in Chumash, anyone bring a raya as to whether something being consumed is an integral part of the definition of Eish, or whether we just made that up, that that's not relevant in terms of defining Eish? We just read it this week's Pasha. That is Sneh. So somebody want to bring a raya from the Sneh. V'neha Sneh bo'er bo'eish, v'asneh nenu ukal. So HaKadosh Baruch is machmir l'shayla. The Baruch Shalom said that it's bo'er bo'eish, that's called the Havar bo'eish, notwithstanding the fact it's not being ukal. So some are going to bring that as a raya. So this past Shabbos, I spoke about this in shul a little bit with Timur Chamarev, because I always talk about a topic that's relevant to halacha to the parsha, either relevant or I want to talk about it and I make it relevant. So since it was on my mind, Havara, I figured I might as well kill two birds with the same stone, might as well prepare the shiur for now. So I started off the shiur by saying that I'm going to give the shiur in shul. If the shiur goes over doing good, then I know I can give it in Eretz Yisrael. If the shiur doesn't go good, then I'm going to have to talk about Shemitah again and talk about greenhouses. So so hopefully it went over well. So I brought this this raya that some Acharonim write. So I said that this raya reminds me of the famous Gemara Masechet Bavas and Sukkah, that when Yonis and Menuzia was learning Torah, so all the birds that would fly over would get burnt up by the Torah of Yonis and Menuzia. So there are two different approaches in how to learn when you read the sugya. So between the Chassid and the Misnagid. So a Chassid looks at this Gemara and gets so excited. Wow, the halig of fire, the keiches, the kedusha, Yenis and Menuzia burnt the birds. The nitzayt says gevaldik. And the Misnagid looks at the same Gemara and says, So is Yenis and Menuzia chayav? Is Adam a mazik? Is that Eisha mazik? Is he chayav mazik shalom? Is it Adam a peshay, etc.? So I said the same thing. So some people look at the sneba, erba, eish, and they, wow, the Rebbeinu Shalom is coming to Meshe Rabbeinu with a marah and a vuah the first time. What is that keiches and the sneboy, erba, eish, and then a guy is learning Yuch HaShabbos, so he looks at the sugi and he says, oh, Zachariah for the Avnei, Zachariah for the Rambam, it's a dinavar, nashting and dinavar. Anyway, different approaches. So we'll see as the week plays out, we'll try to get a little bit of both sides of the Jewish experience. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So we have an unresolved Shiloh. There is a complicated sugi in Masechet Pesach, and we won't have time to talk about it now. Maybe on the bus we'll talk about it. There's a very complicated raya from Hilchas Negoim, in case anyone's interested. I put it on the Mar Makomos, just in case anyone for kicks. But the whole complicated raya of Michvas Eish, whether a Gechelo Shemetecha should be a Havarna. I'll call upon him. It's generally assumed in the poskim that this isn't a deraisa, either as an av or as a tolda. This was the consensus of all the gedolim in Europe when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. So it took a few years till it made it over to Europe. So when all the early the poskim discussed this in the end of the 1800s, so they all pretty much unanimous, not 100% unanimous, but pretty much unanimous, all assumed that there would be a malacha deraisa involved in the turning on of a light bulb, and the malacha deraisa is avari. There's an av or a tolda that is considered to be a full-fledged eish. Love of the Araisa. to such an extent that there were certain gedolim in Europe who were afraid that people wouldn't accept that. So they used to go out of their way on Motzei Shabbos to recite a bracha borim or ha'esh on electric light bulbs, even though there are other potential issues involved in that. This was the practice of Reb Chaim Eiser and Reb Chaim Brisker. So this was just lahotzi believe, and people shouldn't think that turning on electric lights is not a deraisa. So that's how we assume the halacha, that turning on electric lights is in fact a malacha deraisa. What about other types of electric appliances which do not involve lights? So the question becomes a little bit more complicated. So if there's no light, there's no avara, so what possible malacha could be involved? So although there was an opinion that was suggested, that's a tribute to Rabbi Carlo, who was of the opinion that just stam electricity is havara. Forget about lights. Nothing to do with lights. Just stam the connecting electricity is by definition called havara. So I think that most of the poskim didn't accept that. So if you don't go with the view that that electricity goof is havara, so what possible malacha could be involved in? So for argument's sake, turning on a fan, turning on a nice vacuum cleaner or something, where there's no light necessarily that goes on, what malacha of any is involved in that? So there is a famous sheet of the Chazon Ish, the Chiddush of the Chazon Ish, which is based on the following. We need a little bit of a background to understand what the Chazon Ish was talking about. So there is a Gemara Masechet Shabbos and Masechet Beitza that speaks about binyan the kelim. If a person does some kind of act of construction with kelim, is that considered to be malach of boina or not? So we pass in the ein binyan the kelim, that the malach of boina is primarily only on things which are mechubal karka, part of the structure, building a house, pulling in a door or something, a building fixed in a window, that's called boina. A guy puts together a Lego or something, that's not considered to be a boina. Ein binyan b'kelim. Nevertheless, there is a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos in the 7th parak that talks about a person making a shovel on Shabbos. The guy takes a wooden handle, guy takes a blade, and he connects the two together and makes himself from two pieces of junk, he makes a shovel. So the Gemara says, Yechayev mishum boina. So why Yechayev mishum boina? If we pass in the ein binyan b'kelim. So there's a machlekes rishonim. So Rashi and that Gemara says that we don't pass like this Gemara. Rashi says this Gemara is a liba de mandiyomer that yesh binyan b'kelim. But we who paskin that ain't binyan b'kelim, that malachas boina is only on mechub l'karka. So in a chenami, you're not chayev. There's not shaykh to be chayev for boina on something which is only a kli. But the Ran doesn't say this. The Ran says no. That ain't binyan b'kelim. There's an exception to that rule. And the exception to the rule is oisek kli mechadosh. If a person takes pieces of junk, takes worthless pieces of junk and mamish makes a kli yesh me'ayin, I mean, not philosophically yesh me'ayin, but halachli yesh me'ayin, so that's called malachas boina, even though it's in the realm of kelim, even though it's not in karka. That is considered to be malachas boina according to the Ran. So the Chazon Ish quotes this Ran, and the Chazon Ish says that he thinks that's how we paskin l'halocha. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein quotes this bi'arichos in his famous tshuva about opening up cans, and the Chazon Ish has this also about opening up cans. About the Chazon Ish was a big believer in this Ran. That's why the Chazon Ish held that opening up a can may be a shavah derais of boina on Shabbos, but we'll talk about that maybe another time, another place. But the Chazon Ish was a big believer of this Ran, and the Chazon Ish says he thinks that's the problem involved in electricity. Because so we have an electric appliance which is turned off, so it's worthless. It's a piece of junk. You have a fan. What do you do with a fan that's not plugged, that's not working? What do you do with a vacuum cleaner that's not working? What do you do with anything that's, if it's not working, it's not working. It's a buck. It's a piece of garbage. So when you go ahead and you turn on the juice, you go ahead and you turn on the power, so what you're doing is you're taking something which is mamish dead. You're giving, I gave the mashal in shul this week. So that's like Yecheskel's Navu with the Atzamas Hayavashis. It means your mom is breathing life into the Atzamas Hayavashis. So you're breathing life into the vacuum cleaner. You're breathing life into the fan. The fan is worthless. And now hocus pocus, all of a sudden it's turning around the room and making you nice and cool and comfortable. So says the Chazon Ish, that's called the Bainas HaKli. That's called building a Kli. And that would be a Malacha D'Oraisa, following according to the understanding of the Ran. Then the Chazon Ish says, to make matters even worse, is that even if you don't want to go the route of this Ran, you don't want to say that boina sakli is a problem deraisa of boina, but electric devices are much worse because they're considered to be karka. Why are they considered to be karka? Because they're plugged into the ground. So whenever you have your fan plugged into the ground, and now when you turn on the fan, so that's the halacha equivalent of building a window in your house. That's the halacha equivalent of knocking in a nail into your house. You're fixing something, you're constructing something, you're working on something, which is mechubal karka. You're connecting through the current to something which is part of a structure. That's considered to be the malacha d'araisa of boina. That was the Chazon Ish's chiddush. And then by corollary of that is, when you turn off an electric device, that's the malacha of soser. whether that's deraisa or not, Abba Naslivna, Osmakafa, it's a different story. But the Ikaron, the Chazon Ish held that any electric device is by definition considered to be bona for two reasons. It's bona because it's a Sias Kli Mechadosh, and number two, even if you reject that, it's considered to be bona because it's connected to the ground.
Even though it's still plugged in, it's still sosa?
So that's a further question. When you turn off the power, so even though it's still connected, but since the power is not connected anymore, at least not to the extent, there's not enough juice going through to make the appliance work, so that may also be considered to be.
You still get shots when you pull it out.
Right. There still is, right. So that's a question. According to the Chazon Ish, it's quite possible that if you just plug in an appliance, even without turning it on, that's a malacha deraisa. Because there is some power that's going through even when the appliance is off. It's just not enough to get, it's just being blocked from going through the whole system. But that,
the wire still has.
Right. There is electricity going through the wire. So if you hold that the malach of bone is based on the fact that you're making a kli, but when the fan's off, it's not doing anything, so it's still dead. But if you hold that malach is bona, is because of the fact you're completing the circuit from the structure, so that lachar would be a malach of deraisa, just plug it in. That's what becomes important. That's an important shaila. Halacha lemaisa, you're allowed to unplug an appliance that's off. According to the Chazon Ish, there's a whole deal in the poskim, a very common shaila. You have an appliance that's off, but you want to unplug it because you think there's going to be some problem later. Is there anything wrong with unplugging it? Is there anything, even if no juice? I mean, there's a little bit of power going through. Is that considered to be malacha b'chlal? That's part of the show.
Yeah. According to the tab in the Chazon Ish that we're dealing with Binyan B'Karka, so what's the required criteria for Binyan B'Karka? Like by Kelim, once you make it useful, so that's called making a kli. But by karka, at what point is it?
Karka, called? Anything. The Mishnah says in Shabbos, a burning kosher b'karka. A guy takes a hammer and a nail, knocks in the smallest nail hole into the karka. That's called the malacha deraisa.
But if I flip the switch, so I haven't. I mean, if I'm making it useful, so if I'm talking about making a kli, by flipping the switch, I'm making it useful.
I'm connecting this.
So building the circuit.
I'm building the circuit, completing the circuit, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that's all considered to be malachas bain. That's what the Chazon Ish is chiddush. So many poskim disagreed with the Chazon Ish. The Bar Plukta really of the Chazon Ish, and this was of Shlomo Zalman Rabach. Shlomo Zalman wrote a kuntras about this many, many years ago, and then it was printed up possibly in Mechon Shlomo and other places. Where one of the fundamental differences between the Chazon Ish and Rav Shlomo Zalman about the whole approach to electricity was in this Nekuda, that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that he didn't think that that's considered to be Malachas Bein B'chlal, based on the following. There is a halacha, that an obvious halacha, that a person is permitted to open a door on Shabbos. You're allowed to open a door and close a door on Shabbos. The question is, why are you allowed to do that? Why isn't that called Bein? Every time I open the door, so I'm being Seiser, because I'm removing part of the wall. Every time I close the door, I'm being Bona, because I'm adding to the structures. That's a joke. Why is that not true? So the Ramah has a tshuva about that. The Ramah writes, the reason why opening and closing a door on Shabbos is not a malacha, that's called Derech Tashmishai. That's the normal way of using the karka. Malacha means when you're doing some preparatory stage. When I'm building a house, that's called malacha. When I live in the house, that's called the tashmish in the karka. So whenever you're doing something which is the normal tashmish of that particular item, that's by definition not considered to be malachas b'ayna. So that's what Shlomo Zalman quotes in this context as well. He said that that's not that you're not making a vacuum cleaner, you're not making a fan, you're using the fan. When I turn on the, tell somebody, imagine, say to it to somebody who never learned Hilchos Shabbos, say to them, you know when you're turning on a vacuum cleaner, you're manufacturing a vacuum cleaner. I say, you're out of your mind. I'm not making a vacuum cleaner. The vacuum cleaner is made already in the factory. I'm using the vacuum cleaner. So Shlomo Zalman said, when you're using an item, that by definition is not called malachas b'ayna. That's called tashmish b'davar, rather than malachas b'ayna. That was Shlomo Zalman's, one of his major disagreements with the Chazon Ish. So if you accept this approach of Shlomo Zalman, that it's not considered to be malachas b'ayna, so Taka, what is it? So what malacha is it? So the answer is, the way earlier Poskim already said in the Beis Yitzchak, not to be confused with the publication of Rav Yeshiva, or Rav Yitzchak Shmalkus, already over 100 years ago, he suggested that the real quote-unquote malacha involved is not a malacha altogether, that the Taka is no malacha deraisa involved in an electric device which doesn't have a light. If it has a light, a burning light, an incandescent bulb, so there's the metal filament that's burning, that's for sure deraisa, we said. But if it's just a fan or vacuum cleaner or something, it wouldn't be malacha vavara, and it wouldn't be malacha b'ayna either. What would the issa be? It would be an issa of moilid of a chadash. So the Gemara has it, the Mishnah has it in a few places, in Shabbos and in Beitza, that there are certain activities that Chazal prohibited which don't involve malachas. They're not necessarily one of the lamatas malachas, but they're creative activities. They create something from new. So let's say an example of this is on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're permitted to technically light fire on Yom Tov. Havar is one of the malachas and mutaras be Yom Tov. But you're not allowed to be meitzes eish min ha'etzim min ha'avonim. You're not allowed to strike a match. You're not allowed to rub two sticks together in order to get a fire out. Why is that? So the Gemara says, Mishum de Moilid. So Rashi explains in that Gemara, Machoikis Rishon, but Rashi explains in that Gemara, is that even though lighting a fire is not a malacha in Yom Tov, because it's eichel nefesh, or it's bitoich, so it's mutam min ha'Torah, but when you create a fire from scratch, that's a new thing. It's not a malacha, it's a burid of a chadash. We're not supposed to be create new things on Shabbos. Rebbe Shalom stopped his creation on Shabbos, so not only are we mechuyif to stop from the lametes malachas, we're mechuyif to stop from being borei devarim chadashim as well. It's not in the deraisa. Molad devachadash is in the sederabonim. Or let's say lemoshal, the Gemara has in the fourth parak of Shabbos, you're not allowed to crush ice on Shabbos. So the reason that the Gemara gives is mishum de molid, which Rashi did l'shitasa in Beitza says the same story, that you're creating something new. What's the new thing? It used to be ice, and now it's water. So that's called new. Water is considered to be a new entity. So other Rishonim and that sugya and Shabbos give a different understanding of that Gemara because they probably understood that's not called molid of a chadash. It's the same H2O. So I know much I know about physics, about chemistry. So H2O. So it's the same water. So it's solid, it's liquid, but it's the same basic thing. So many Rishonim say that's not the yisur in the sugya Masechah Shabbos. It's also for a different reason to crush ice. The Rambam says it's examination schitis peiros, but I have other reasons why. But Rashi the Shittas holds that there's this permeating halacha called molid of a chadash. The Gemara has in another place of molid reyach that you're not allowed to spray perfume onto clothing on the Shabbos and Yom Tov because you're adding a whole dimension, a whole new smell, a new scent. You're adding to the clothing. That's called the molid of a chadash. So you have this sugya that appears in many many places. This is a derabbanan called molid of a chadash. So the Beis Yitzchok said that's the problem with electricity. You have a vacuum cleaner, and now you're turning on the vacuum, so you're creating a new thing. You're taking the electric current and you're putting it into the vacuum, and now the vacuum is functioning. So what the Chazanish called bona midaraisa, so the Beis Yitzchok didn't say it was bona. Rav Shlomo Zalman's right, that's not called bona, but it's still called the molid of a chadash. It's still called creating something new, and that creating of something new, it would be problematic on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Is that something new, the device or the circuit?
Yeah, so it's not clear exactly. At least I'm not clear exactly what the nakud of the newness is. But somehow this vacuum is now functioning with the circuit, and the whole picture together. That's considered to be a davar chadash, and that would be problematic on Shabbos. So that would only be problematic on the level of derabbanan. So at Kopanim, we have a few different possibilities. What malach of any is involved in the non-light electric devices? Either the chaznish is the biggest machmir is mamash shalav deraisa of boina. Or according to Rabban Kotler, it's a shal derais of Havara. Then you have others who are saying that it's something less than that. It's some kind of an other isser. Maybe the isser of molid. Maybe molid. Rav Shlomo Zalman had issues with molid also. Maybe there's some other isser derabbanan involved. So this could be that we can't pinpoint exactly what this isser derabbanan is, but there's some kind of an isser involved. Again, either derais according to some or derabbanan according to others. There is an important discussion. We're not going to have enough time to focus totally on this, but just for a moment, how this all plays out in terms of Yom Tov. So you may be aware of the fact that there were many very religious people who used to turn on lights on Yom Tov. Where in the world did that come from, turning on lights on Yom Tov? So there were Gedolei Olam in Europe who permitted this, there are Hashulchan and others, based on the fact that you're allowed to do Havara on Yom Tov. Havara Mikra Din is Mutra on Yom Tov. And clearly the Aruch HaShulchan and others were not worried about the bona issues and the molid issues and the other things. They were only going with the problems of Havara. So they said, Havara is mutter. You're allowed to light a fire on Yom Tov. The only problem is you're not allowed to light a fire from scratch on Yom Tov. So these Acharonim assumed that lighting a fire, i.e. turning on electric light, is not called lighting a fire from scratch because it's there already. Why is it there already? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a lashon. He says, because the fire's in the wires already. So that's not if the fire's in the wires, you got a big problem in your house. But the Aruch HaShulchan viewed somehow the turning on the electric bulb was not considered to be a nisser of motzias eish min ha'etzim min avonim, and therefore it would be mutal lechetchila on Yom Tov. So that was the famous kul that existed in certain communities in Europe. The later poskim pointed out that the metzias was probably not correct, that it's very hard to envision that the electric light is anything more than a motzias eish min ha'etzim min avonim. There's nothing there. I mean, everything is there in the world. All power, all matter and energy is there already. But there's nothing glowing there. There's nothing burning there. So when you're taking a filament that's not glowing and you're making it glow, so that's called motzias eish min ha'etzim min avonim. So that's the way we assume today. We assume that all the later poskim have pointed out that the turning on of electric lights on Yom Tov would be problematic. It would be a problem probably midirabbanon. According to most poskim, motzias ha'esh min ha'etz nevanim is only midirabbanon. So one really should not do that. But you should be aware of the fact that if your grandparents tell you that they used to turn on lights in Europe, tell them, okay, that's what they used to do in Europe, but whatever, you have to figure out how to talk to your grandparents about it. One time I gave a shiur about this in another shul, not in my shul, and somebody came running up to me afterwards. They started screaming at me. They said that I'm violating the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. I said, what Messiah of Klal Yisrael? He said, there's a Messiah in Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to turn on electric lights in Yom Tov. Yeah, first of all, it's not a Messiah in Klal Yisrael. It was a half a dozen, you know, some poskim had this idea. I said, I don't think that's called a violation of Messiah. I found it humorous that I was being accused of tampering with the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. I was trying to bring the Messiah back to where it's supposed to be. It means that the Yisr is, as does the Mishnah, that Eim Motzias Eishin Eitzim Me'avonim. So it's Machlokes, whether that's called Motzias Eishin out, so the later poskim will assume that it would be a problem. So again, Lefinia's 91 should not rely on this Kul
Dibbis. What about increasing a dimmer on China?
So the issue with increasing dimmer is that the metzias advarim is that it's probably not just increasing. The way the experts have told us, I'm just based on what I was told, is that when you increase the dimmer, so there are new circuits that are being created. There are some things that are being turned off and new things are being turned on. And it's not just the same as just adding fuel to a fire in Yom Tov. So that would be problematic. Okay, anyway, so this is all the chashmah part of the shiur. Now we have to do grammar in the next 6 minutes. So we'll try to give a little bit of introduction to grammar, and hopefully they'll fill us in a little bit more on it when we get there.
The basis is accepted reason why?
It depends who accepted by whom. We assume there's an issa d'rabbanan. That's the most, many poskim assume it's d'rabbanan. I mean, the Chazon Ish held us there, I said, but most poskim assume that it's a d'rabbanan. If so, then we have a right to be mekel certain kulos of a merely yakom, things of that nature. So really just a very, very quick introduction to the Sugya of Grama. The Gemara tells us in Masech HaShabbos that if a person does a malacha in an indirect manner, that's not considered to be a malacha deraisa on Shabbos. The example that the Gemara gives is that if a person has a fire going on in his house on Shabbos, so to take water and pour, assuming there's no pikuach nefesh, that's probably unlikely b'zman hazeh, usually there would be pikuach nefesh, but assuming there's no pikuach nefesh, so if you have a fire somewhere, so to pour water directly onto the fire, that would be malachas kibui. But the Gemara says you're allowed to put water in other places. You can fill up a barrel of water and put it near the fire, and then the fire is going to hit the barrel. It's going to break the barrel open. The water is going to get all over the fire, and it's going to put out the fire. The Gemara says that's all right. That's considered to be grama. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk lo sasekom alacha asiya also grama mutter. Very shi gemara on Shabbos daf kuf chaf that grama would be mutter on Shabbos. So there is a machlekes in Rishonim whether the Gemara means to say that grama is always mutter on Shabbos. Means it's mutter even midrabbanan. So that's what some Rishonim say, and we don't pass like that. The Ramah paskins that grum is usually prohibited mid the Rabbanon. The only reason why it's mutter in the case in Shabbos is a big tzarech, a big makam hefsed, a house is going to burn down. So comes the Mordechai, the Ramah paskins like this Mordechai in the Shabbos, that grum is mutter in a Torah, but it's also mid the Rabbanon, and it's only mutter mid the Rabbanon, the makam hefsed, chayim, a mitzvah, some kind of real big tzarech. But normally, just to say it's grum and everything is hep the grum, but it's grum, so the Ramah at least doesn't pass the way. There was some Rishonim who did pass in that way, but at least that meaning is like the Ramah that we would not permit grum just like that. It would only be mutter under very, very limited circumstances. This is assuming that we've properly defined grama. So we know very, very little about grama. We know in Masech HaShabbos, this is the example of grama, filling up the barrels and the barrels breaking. The problem with this example is that there is a Gemara, Masech HaBeitza, that seems to contradict this example. The Gemara says that a mistapik bin Shemin Shebener is chayim mishum kibui. You have a fire, you have a candle that's burning, let's say a liquid candle, like a Hanukkah, oil menorah that's burning. And a person Friday night realizes that the meal he ran out of salad dressing, so he wants to take a little bit of the olive oil out of the candle to forget about the Neres Hanukkah issue. He wants to take some of his olive oil out and put it into a salad. So the Gemara says that would be an issa d'oraisa, a mistapik mishem and shemener. That you're by doing so you're doing an act of kibui, removing the oil is being mechaber the candle. So the Rishonim asks, how is that happening? Why is that grama? It means the candle's not going out right away. I'm just taking some of the oil. The candle will go out. Instead of going out in an hour from now, it'll go out in 45 minutes from now. So what's the difference between removing the oil and putting the barrels of water? So comes Tosfos in Maseches Beis and says, no, the difference is like this. That when you take oil away from the candle, it's going to dim the flame even right now. There's going to be some kind of a nikar in the flame. Mamash Bashio Sham. Immediately, it's not going to go out lagamre, but it's going to become a dimmer flame, and that's called meleches kibui. But lu yitzuya that wouldn't happen, says Taisvis. Let's say you have a wax candle and you cut off some of the wax in the bottom. So even though the candle will go out a few minutes earlier, that's still called grama. So according to Taisvis, grama is defined as what happens immediately. If there's some kind of a recognizable kibui right now, that's called Maisa B'Yadayim. If nothing happens now, it takes a while till something happens. That's like the barrel case, that's like the candle case, and that would be, not like the oil, but the candle case, that would not be called the Maisa B'Yadayim, that would be called Grum. The Rosh, however, in Maseches Beitzah, disagrees with Tosfos. The Rosh writes that there's a difference, that the case of the barrels, the barrels is a separate entity. The barrels have nothing to do with this fire. I put barrels 20 feet away, and it's going to be blown up by the fire. There's no shaychus, there's no tzirif between the barrels and the fire. That's called grama. Masha'en came, when you have a system of a candle which is full of oil, so that's part of the fire. That's all the same flame. So when I'm tampering with the flame, my nafkamina, whether I'm tampering with the flame itself, whether I'm tampering with the source of fuel, it's all the same system. So whenever you detract from the system itself, even though nothing's going to happen now, according to the Rosh, it's going to take an hour until the candle goes out. That's not called grama, that's called the ma'aseh b'yadayim. That's an important machlekes in Rishonim. The background of that machlekes has to be understood in light of the example of grama. We'll close off the show with this. I'll just give the quote to Gemara in Chul. It's hard to give a shit about grama without quoting this Gemara. Gemara in Chul, and then hopefully we'll see a little bit more discussion about this in Selmet, I hope. If not, I'll have to give the end of it on the bus. But it's a Gemara in Maseches Chul. The Gemara speaks about grama not in the context of Shabbos. The Gemara speaks about it in the context of Shechita, in the context of Ritzicha. That a person is only a Ritzeach B'Yadayim if you kill B'Yadayim. A guy shoots somebody, a knife, cut somebody's head off. That's called a Ritzeach B'Yadayim. Similarly, the halacha is when you shecht an animal, so you need Maisa Gavra. I have to take the knife and I have to shecht the animal. If a knife falls off of a roof or something and happens to hit on an animal, happens by itself, that's not called a Maisa Shechita. And even if the Siman Makot, that's not called a Shechita Min HaTorah. So you require a Maisa HaRetzeach, you need a Maisa Shechita. So in that sugi, the Gemara quotes the following. What would the halacha be if a person puts a knife on a water wheel, and now he causes the water to start to move? He pulls the dam, whatever it is, he causes the water to start to move, and the wheel is now turning. And there are animals walking past this wheel. Is that considered to be a Maisa Shechit? Is that not called a Maisa Shechit? Is that a Maisa Adam or not? So the Gemara says, depends. Is it Kerech Rishon? Is it Kerech Sheni? If it happens through Kerech Rishon, that's a Malacha Deraisa. If it that's called Shechita Deraisa. If it happens through Kerech Sheni, that's not called a Shechita. Shechita would be possible in a Torah. So the Gemara compares this to the case of the Retzeach to the following scenario. The Gemara says, I have a guy, I don't like this guy, so I want to tie him up and I want to kill him. So I take a guy, tie him up, and I put him by water. But there's a dam there, so the water's not coming. The water's not going to kill him. So what do? I go ahead and I open up the dam. So now I make a hole in the dam, I break open the dam, and now the water comes gushing and kills the person. So the Gemara says, am I chayav mishum? It's not a nice thing to do. I'm not going to give you maftiyana for it. But is it, am I rotzech deraisa? So the Gemara says, depends. If the person is killed b'kech rishon, I'm a rotzech deraisa. If the person's killed b'kech sheni, then I'm not a rotzech deraisa. Wouldn't be chayav mishum bezin. What's the difference? How do you know what's kech rishon, kech sheni? So Rashi says, it's all a question of time. According to Rashi, the factor in terms of determining whether it's grum or not is it happened right away. If the guy dies right away, the water gushes 2 seconds later, kills the guy, I'm rotzech deraisa. Like the shechita. If the shechita happens immediately when I pull the water wheel, that's a shechita. Anything that happens a few seconds later, Rashi doesn't say what the cutoff point is, but anything that happens a little bit later, as long as there's a time delay, that's not called the maisa, that's called grama. That's Rashi's shechita, very similar to Tosfos and Beitzah with the candle. That's Rashi's approach. The Yad Ramah, in Maseches Nedarim, we'll close this Yad Ramah, the Yad Ramah says that's not the issue. The Yad Ramah says it has nothing to do with time. The factor is as follows, says the Yad Ramah. He said, is the water here right now? It doesn't matter how long it's going to take. Is everything system present? Is everything here? If the water is here, if the water is right in front of us, and now that water comes and kills the person, even if it took 20 second delay, that's still called the Maisa B'Yadayim, that's called Ritzicha. The only time it's called Grama is the water's not even here. And then the question becomes, what do you mean the water's not here? The water's somewhere. So that's a technical issue. Is the water connected, not connected? Again, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more on the bus. But according to the Yad Ramah, the factor is not an issue of time. Rather, the factor is it here or not? Is everything in place to go? Whether it takes 20 minutes for it to happen is irrelevant. But if the Dover HaMazik or the Dover HaRotzeach or whatever the kelim that are killing the person or the knife, the shechita, if everything is here and ready to roll, so that's considered to be a Maisa B'Yadayim. That's one pshat in the Ramah. Then the Ramah gives the second pshat. He says, no. Even if everything is here, it could still be Grama if it stops along the way. Let's say if I open up the dam, the water comes gushing, but then the water stops on the way. There's some kind of a hole in the way. The water fills up in the hole and it stops. And then the water starts to flow out again itself. So once there's a Davra Meneh, once there's a Davra Mafsik, there's a Chaitzeh, it's in between, That's called a grama. That's not called a ma'isi b'yadayim. So koponim, we have from that gemara maseches chulin, maseches sanhedrin, three potential factors as to what is the criteria to distinguish between a ma'isi b'yadayim and a grama. Is it a question of time, like Rashi? Is it a question of, is everything in front of us in the same system, like the first pshat in the Ramah? Or the second pshat in the Ramah is there some kind of a break? Is there some kind of a stop in the action and the clock starts over again? That's the factor. So we have to get that background. Remember, Tosu in the Rosh and Deitza. Remember the three pshatim in the Gemara and Chulin and Sanhedrin. And we have to hopefully keep our eyes open when we see everything in Tzomer to see whether these criteria of Grama are being met or not. So Kol Panim, we have three different parts of the Sugya. We have Avara as an entity in and of itself, the electric lights, the metal. Then we have the second issue in terms of electricity in general. The third issue, what's considered to be Grama. So hopefully we'll try to put this all together and see what we see in front of us.
Within the Kol HaBeit Midrash to without, and hopefully it'll be a pretty smooth transition here, but pay attention to it.